We're back with Vermont Viewpoint. I'm Rick Singeri. In this COVID pandemic world, we've seen a focus on all areas of the healthcare industry like never before because we've become dependent on these frontline professionals who work for healthcare organizations. We're fortunate to have these organizations and professionals here in Vermont, and one of them is Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. Joining me now is the president and CEO of CVHHH, Sandy Roos. Sandy, welcome to Vermont Viewpoint.
Great. Thanks, Rick. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Listeners, you can call us with your questions for Sandy Roos or to discuss your experiences with CVHHH. Our numbers are 244-1777. Toll free, it's 877-291-8255. And you can email vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. Sandy, I hate to assume that everyone knows the vital information about an organization as I start an interview. So give people a brief introduction to the work that CVHHH does.
Sure, Rick. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to do that. So ultimately, Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice takes care of individuals prenatal, individuals that are pregnant and going to have a baby, and working with them on parenting and around expecting that child into their home, right through to end-of-life care. So, you know, we have maternal and child health programs, and that goes into our home health programs, which are those services that we provide that need skilled care, such as the care of a nurse or a therapist or a medical social worker, home health aide. And then we also have our hospice program, which has touched many, many lives in our community and caring not only for the patient, but for their family during that very difficult time in their home, and really supporting them and the family members and providing bereavement to them after their loved one has passed away. And then also we have a whole long-term care program, which is really a non-medically necessary program, but it's those vital services such as doing errands, doing laundry, providing homemaking services, companionship, et cetera, that keep individuals in their home as long as they possibly can, in their community, surrounded by their families, friends, pets, neighbors, et cetera, so they don't have to go into a facility living situation.
That is a wide breadth of services, Sandy.
It is.
How many?
And we also do flu clinics as well as foot care clinics.
Oh, my gosh.
So...
Now that you say it, you're probably thinking to yourself, I can't believe we do all this stuff.
It's been 100-plus years in the making.
Wow. And how many people are employed by CVHHH?
We have employed between 180 and 190 employees.
Okay. That makes sense now.
Yes. And the majority are direct care staff. There's probably about 55 administrative staff.
Wow. You've been involved with the organization for over 20 years, I believe. So why is CVHHH so important to you?
Well, I was born when my mom was 40. So I was kind of the unwanted surprise, so to speak.
Yep.
And I guess I've been around older adults all my life. And I know for both my mom and dad, my dad worked three jobs, and my mom basically helped him with one of his businesses and took care of all of us, four children. And their home was their sanctuary. Mm. And that's where they wanted to be when they aged. That's where they went when they wanted to just have calm and peace. When times got tough, I remember my mom just sitting at the table having her tea, and my dad would come home. We hadn't seen him in days from just working different shifts through his three jobs, and he just wanted to sit in his chair and relax and watch football or 60 Minutes or the news or just read.
Did you grow up in my house?
That was their peace. That was their peace and quiet, and we made sure we gave that to them.
Yeah. So, Sandy, now everyone is vitally concerned about COVID, especially in our healthcare community. So where's your staff in line for receiving COVID vaccines?
So our staff are considered part of priority 1A. So certainly we've, the majority of our direct care staff, which are those individuals that are patient facing, so it's going into patients' homes on a regular basis, have been vaccinated. We've had, you know, close to like an 85% vaccination rate of those individuals. which is really great. Obviously, there are some staff that have to consult with their healthcare provider, and with some of the unknowns, they may be being given advice not to do it right now, and of course, some individuals just have their own opinion of wanting to wait a little bit. But we have been in line and ready, and the majority of our staff have at least gotten their first vaccine.
Well, as medical professionals, that 85% rate is pretty high. So what message are they sending to their community by rolling up their sleeves and getting that shot?
Really, I think it is, you know, the goal of the governor is to save Vermont lives and really to protect those that are most vulnerable. And most of those individuals are those older adults and those frail elderly and disabled that we are seeing on a regular basis. And we really want to get as many individuals vaccinated as possible. There's a lot of information out there on the web from the CDC and certainly from Central Vermont Medical Center, who has been the hub of distributing these vaccinations. And really, I think what the medical community is saying is definitely the negative could outweigh, the positive definitely outweighs the negative at this point in time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, especially for those individuals that have multiple chronic diseases and all of that, those with CHF, congestive heart failure, or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, it could really impact them very negatively, COVID could. And certainly if they can get a vaccine and maybe have a few side effects that aren't life-threatening, it could certainly keep them from a life-threatening situation in the future.
And then the people you work with, your clients, especially those who are older and in the more vulnerable areas, how are you communicating to them about getting the vaccine?
So right now, everything's still in a bit of a flux.
Yep.
And we are working in tandem with the Vermont Department of Health through our trade association, VNAs of Vermont. And then also we are going to be partnering with Central Vermont Medical Center because in the throughout the state, the 14 hospitals are the hub of vaccination distribution. So ultimately what we want to do is partner with them, try to have some sort of a coordinated effort, and work with different areas throughout our community to get the information we need and send that messaging out. Ultimately, Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice and other VNAs throughout the state are planning on vaccinating the patients that are on service with them. And I think it's just more or less the semantics and logistics of how to do that in a coordinated way. So for those individuals, the vaccine is coming. We don't have all the details worked out right now. The state's priority currently is still priority 1A, which is for healthcare providers, EMS, our first responders, et cetera. And I know the state is working on a plan to roll out information for the next age band, which they will be starting with, which is 75 years and older. So we're trying to coordinate different points of distribution pods, which we call, whether it's in a congregate setting location or a homeless location setting or out in the community through a partner such as Central Vermont Home Health or other venues that we've been delivering other care and support through COVID. And certainly there'll be public clinics as well.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the vaccine's rolling out, you know, kind of slowly, and we're waiting for more vaccines to come to the state. So it will take a while to get everyone vaccinated with the COVID vaccine. So, you know, the protocols are still the important part of this equation. So what are the protocols that your staff has been using during the pandemic?
Well, certainly when this all started in March, it was definitely an all hands on deck. And I think for everyone, it was the fear of the virus and how it was transmitted, and then also having appropriate personal protective equipment. And for home health, it functions a little bit differently. A lot of the agencies, not all, do use face shields and obviously medical surgical masks on a regular basis, at times in N95, certainly gowns, gloves, et cetera. But we do not keep large stockpiles of those because what we do is we get those PPE and then we drop ship it to patients' homes. So we don't necessarily have a huge inventory. So it took us a few weeks in conjunction with the VNAs of Vermont to really get a good quantity of that personal protective equipment, but we did have that quantity to initially start caring for those individuals that were COVID positive. So we really never shut our doors, and we started that right away. And I think for Central Vermont, the phasing in of COVID was a little bit slower at the beginning, which was really helpful, especially those individuals that needed that extra support at home by home health. So we were very well equipped. You know, being in home care for all these years, the one thing I've learned is we have to remain really nimble. Mm. So we are able to really, you know, flip that switch fairly quickly. This certainly was different than anything else as a pandemic, but we've participated in, you know, different issues such as this with the state over the years. So it was just a matter of the PPE, I think, was the most significant, and really just helping staff understand how the virus was transmitted and learning information as was turtle for us. And now staff gear up on a regular basis. They wear face shields when they go into the home. That actually puts them at lowest risk of exposure. So we've been fortunate to have a very, very minimal number of staff that have contracted the virus. There have only been three individuals, and two of those out of the three were definitely community acquired versus anything else. And we do have COVID positive patients on service on a regular basis. We've been averaging 5 to 10 at any given time through today.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm speaking with CVHH, did I get all the H's right? CVHHH,
yeah.
President and CEO Sandy Roos. We're going to take a quick break, and we'd love to hear from you listeners with your questions for Sandy. You can call us at 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. Welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint. Sandy Roos, President and CEO of Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice, is my guest. We're discussing how CVHHH is maintaining standards during this pandemic, and we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for Sandy Roos, call us, 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. You can also tell us about if you've seen CVHHH's work up close during this pandemic. Sandy, human contact is a bit out of fashion during our new socially distanced reality, but that makes it difficult to check on your clients. So what have you been doing to reduce these interactions?
Right. So, Rick, that is definitely the case. Our goal was really to mitigate exposure during COVID for both our patients, clients, and families, as well as our staff. So we were in a really fortunate place. Once again, I told you in home care, we try to remain nimble. Mm-hmm. And Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice has had a telemonitor program in place since 2007. As a result of having that system, which is compromises of having a telehealth manager here in the office that monitors a panel of patients on a regular basis, our clients have what is similar to a Samsung tablet in their home. And that has video visit capabilities as well. So we were very quickly able to check on those individuals through video and look at their frequency of visit patterns and the number of disciplines that were going in, whether it was a nurse or a therapist or potentially a home health aide. And for any of those services that were beyond, like, the personal care services of bathing, et cetera, we really had to look at what makes most sense to be an in-person visit versus a remote visit versus a telephone visit. And knowing that we had, you know, and then categorizing high risk, medium risk, and low risk as to, you know, certainly one of our biggest goals was to keep these individuals out of the hospital. Those are our sickest patients that are on that program. Mm. So those could be definitely the most vulnerable. So we wanted to keep them in a safe and isolated place. In addition to that, we had iPads, and we were fortunate to be a receiver of a grant through the Vermont Program of Healthcare Quality, a connectivity grant, where we had we were given not only iPads, but also Wi-Fi boosters. So that really helped all of our programs throughout the organization in possibly deploying technology that allowed them all to stay connected in a different way.
Well,
and then for those individuals that were on our long-term care program and very nervous about having their personal care attendant come in regularly and really trying to space out, well, instead of doing groceries for a week, we do it for 2 weeks. So we had one of our personal care attendants calling these individuals on a regular basis just to check in, just to, you know, make sure they're not feeling too isolated, making sure we've met their needs, that they're, if they're working with other providers, how can we connect them and get them what they need. And sometimes those conversations were, you know, less than a minute, and sometimes they were up to 48 minutes. So we really tried to stay connected both visually and telephonically, as well as in person throughout this whole thing.
Well, I understand the need for remote and telemedicine visits in place of being there in person during this pandemic, but how effective are they as opposed to being there with a client?
They're actually very effective, and I think we're seeing that throughout our medical system, and this is not uncommon. It has been around for a very long time, maybe not as much as in Vermont, but certainly in other states. And I think what it allows is it actually allows us to enhance the care that's being provided, especially in a home health setting. If we can have multiple individuals basically touching that client on a regular basis, then we are more apt to notice and identify change in condition, which ultimately leads to keeping them out of the hospital, keeping them out of the emergency room, and being able to care for them at home and notice any sort of exacerbations that may be coming down the pike. And certainly identifying other, you know, other social determinants of health that they may need during this time that arise. You know, anybody can ultimately go into a crisis at any point in time. So it really allows us to keep touch. So we haven't necessarily replaced visits per se, at least now that we've come a bit out of COVID, although we're still kind of on red alert. But we've certainly been able to enhance the care that we're providing, and that's the ultimate goal.
Now, how have the clients of CVHHH responded to the use of telemedicine and, you know, more of these remote processes?
Right. So some, it just doesn't work well.
Mm-hmm.
And as if it doesn't work well, then we don't do it. And we set ourselves up to make in-person visits only. For others, very receptive. For some, we still have connectivity issues, so it's not going to work. And just for some, it just doesn't feel like the right type of care. So this is not, you have to do this. This is, we have this to offer. This is why we want to offer it. This is how we think it will enhance the care that we're providing based on your care plan.
Yep.
And if we can do this, we'd like the opportunity. And we really try to have people try it. But certainly we don't force it upon them.
Good. I do like, you've thought of so many things. You mentioned earlier, Wi-Fi boosters, and the connectivity issue that you really looked at. That's really important, and I applaud you for that. Now, is this something you think you'll utilize more post-pandemic? And that is my favorite hyphenated word right now, post-pandemic.
It absolutely is. Because we've always had a program and we've really, COVID actually accelerated our ability to implement it. And this is certainly a goal. We're piloting different things with this program. We're piloting having a nurse practitioner work with us, certainly for the population that's on a telemonitor as part of their care plan for those high-risk individuals to keep them out of the hospital. We're looking at an Echo Duo type device, which can help facilitate potentially what an EKG may look like in the home to certainly get to the doctor and cardiologist and work with them. And it is just another way, like I said, of improving care. So when we look at our strategic plan, ultimately quality of care is significant to our work. And anything that we can do to enhance that, we are certainly doing it. Now every referral that comes into our organization, we look at including telehealth visits into that plan of care.
How has staffing been at CVHHH through the pandemic, Sandy?
Right. So workforce in general, I think in the state of Vermont and especially in healthcare, has been a challenge. I can honestly say that what we try to do is keep as many people employed as possible during this and redeployed individuals, et cetera. We did have some that had just had to to be home, couldn't make the commitment for whatever reason, whether it was childcare or their own health condition, etc. But ultimately, the staff has been pretty amazing. And many have wanted to stand up and help in any given way. I know we had personal care attendants working with IT staff to make face shields. Like I said, we had personal care attendants making phone calls to patients. Certainly staff were willing and learning to do video visits, whether they were at home or not. But overall, workforce is a significant challenge. There is a significant nursing shortage, which we are all aware of, and it is a significant strategic planning focus for us over the next 3 years. I know one of the major things that we did in a very small step in the strategy of really boosting our capacity from a workforce perspective is we have raised our minimum wage to $15 an hour. And that came with unanimous support from our personnel and finance committees as well as our board. And that's just one way of us recognizing that the people that are taking care of individuals in their home have a passion for this work. And they have some sort of experience or some sort of heartfelt something or other that this is what they want to do. And it doesn't only start at being a personal care attendant. We want to support individuals to pursue a career in home health and either do, stay in the personal care attendant world as a licensed nurse assistant, really try to work with them to further their education into becoming an LPN or an RN or even a therapist for that matter. So we are going to have a significant focus on that. We hired more recently an amazing nurse educator, Elena Martell. She's originally from Central Vermont, and she has a real passion for wanting to give back to her community. Her parents are deeply rooted in the community, and we're very fortunate to have a lot of people and a lot of our staff live in the community. So when your neighbor's unsafe, you don't sleep well at night, and you want to make sure you can do everything you can to support these individuals in their home.
Sandy, in just under a minute, if there's someone in the healthcare profession listening right now, what would you tell them about your mission and why they'd enjoy the opportunity to work at CVHHH?
So I have the opportunity to actually interview anyone that's leaving the organization. I put myself out there to do that. Mm-hmm. And if they agree, you know, I think what I've heard the most is that individuals, especially nurses, are able to use their skills in no other way and in no other place than in the home. You are really able to work at the top of your license. You are able to, in a hands-on environment. We have patients that are experiencing all sorts of medical complexities and conditions. And I think that's been the biggest thing, that you are actually going to see such a wide array, and you do still have the ability to focus. We have wound care certified staff. We have staff that are very focused on PICC lines and IVs. We have other staff that are, you know, more well-versed in congestive heart failure and COPD. Everybody learns all of that, but ultimately we need experts as well on staff. So we're very fortunate. We use technology. Like I said, all our direct care staff either have a tablet or a laptop, and you really are able to work at the top of your license. Even as an LNA, you can.
Sandy, I'm going to have to leave it there, but yeah. I thank you so much. Sandy Roos is president and CEO of Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Rick. Take care.
You too. Take care.